be seated. It is Reformation Sunday, as you've heard and seen, a day where we often tend to look to the past, to our heritage as Lutherans, to Martin Luther himself. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, unless, of course, we celebrate what has been and then remain there, reveling in what seems to be the glory days of the church, or assuming that we've collectively already figured it out 500 years ago and that we should just keep it on autopilot until Jesus returns. It's no coincidence that our sermon series is sliding into home today, colliding headfirst with Reformation Sunday. We have wondered this fall what it means to do ministry and to grow spiritually. And the real point of Reformation Sunday is not to long for the past, but to be open to how God is moving us into the future. We are called to ready ourselves for how that unpredictable, uncontainable wildfire of a Holy Spirit will continue to stir up in us and reform us as God's people. It calls us to look for, to celebrate, to point to and to join God's active presence in the world. And it calls us to be open for how we can be grown and shaped and stretched by Jesus, both individually and collectively as the church. So often, congregations, though, want to use this day to simply celebrate who we are as Lutherans. And sometimes that frustrates me, but today I'm going to just lean headfirst into it and say, let's do it. Let's celebrate and be fully Lutheran, friends. Let's do it. Because Lutherans are all about living out grace. Relentless, lavish, Oprah-style grace. You're loved by God, and you're loved by God. Everybody's loved by God. Lutherans try to get comfy in the paradox. We exist in the tension of both and. God is both just and merciful. Discipleship is both freedom and expectation, commitment. Jesus' presence is both mysterious, mystical, and incarnational, concrete. The kingdom of heaven is both here among us and yet not complete. And Lutherans, let's celebrate this, understand the word of God to be present in a book, but even more so, to be very much alive. So when we read that book, we experience, we encounter a God who constantly reforms us through our reading and through our hearing. That is, after all, what happened to Martin Luther. He heard God speak to him through the Word. And he realized in that, among about 94 other things, that it was crucial for the community to be able to experience God through the Word together. Which is why, among other things, he worked really hard to get it into their language and into their hands. But even long before Luther, it's what happened to the people in Nehemiah's community. In the reading today from that book, which is one of my favorite books in all of Scripture, the exiles were finally settled back into their homeland after an excruciating time away. And so they'd come home, and Ezra the priest, along with other faith leaders, gathered them together into the square, probably because they had some questions about, what now? Now where do we go? How is the community to live in shalom with one another after so many years apart? What are some principles for reforming a collective identity as God's people? And so Ezra did what he knew how to do best. He let the word of God speak. He began reading the Torah to them, and the leaders interpreted it to the best of their ability for that particular community and in that particular context. And the people heard it, and they wept. They wept. They found themselves feeling what? Achy? Guilty? Afraid? Unworthy? We're not entirely sure, but we know that the word moved through them. It happened to them. It shifted something in them. It awakened something. They were experiencing God in a way that they hadn't in a very long time. And Ezra allowed a little bit of space for that, and then he encouraged them not to stay there. That shift was a gift, but it wasn't the final result of encountering the Word. It served to shake the dust off of their hearts, to shake the complacency, to shake the disconnect that they were feeling from God. And once that happened, there was room to see themselves in a new light. It was one of many reformations or reformations for God's people that allowed them to move forward into a new future. Martin Luther and Ezra both realized that everyone needs to hear the Word of God, but that there's also power in hearing the Word together in gathered community. There's something about having the Word read aloud to you rather than just soaking the words off the page in for yourself that brings it to life in a new way. There's something about wrestling together with interpretation that sheds new light. There's something about seeing each other's stories within God's story that strengthens our understanding of ourselves as the body of Christ. And when we experience the Word, when we encounter it, we, just like those Israelites, are reformed as we are reminded of who we are in God's vision. Just like how they experienced it, the living Word is meant to convict us but not condemn us, to challenge us, but also to give us strength and hope. And finally, just like that gathered community that was sent out to eat and drink and make sure everybody else was able to enjoy as well, the living Word sends us out to live abundant life and to care for others. In other words, the living Word helps us to grow spiritually and do ministry. Do you see how nicely that worked out for us? So I'm going to challenge us today, sisters and brothers. First, I'm going to challenge each of us to find a way to be part of a group, not individually, but a group, that is engaging Scripture regularly. Whether it's Sunday morning, Wednesday evening, Monday morning, Thursday afternoon, whether it's here or gathered as small groups in your homes, let's get together and read and speak the Word to one another. I've heard lately from a lot of women who are desiring that specifically, and so I'm actually looking into starting a woman's Bible study if you're interested. But we can start any others that are needed. This is a priority of this congregation. Let's get together and encounter the living Word, also called Jesus, and see how God stirs up in us as we go about our lives. And my second challenge, and this one's going to be a little bit trickier for us, is to practice it together right now. Let's get out of our comfort zone just a little bit and dare to remember that each of us is equipped to hear God in the Word, not just the pastors. Let's dare to imagine that talking to each other in worship can be Lutheran. Let's practice what we preach as Lutherans and engage the Word in community. And so I'm going to ask you to do something really uncomfortable, and I'm going to ask you to be brave and to be bold and to just try it. If it fails spectacularly, I won't do it again for at least 6 months. I want us to do a very abridged version of a spiritual discipline called Lectio Divina. I'm going to read through part of our Isaiah text again, and I want you to just let it sit on your heart. If it helps to close your eyes, close your eyes. And then I'm going to give just a few moments of silence for you to just ponder. Just hear it. Hear if something stirred up in you. I'm going to encourage you not to read along. Just hear it. And then after a little bit of quiet, I'll invite some time, and this is where it gets really scary, to turn to a neighbor, and if you're not near a neighbor, find one, and share. I know. Take a big breath and share what you heard, something that you want to take with you through the week, something that you will be chewing on like daily bread, some way that God is speaking to you, a word or a phrase or an image that pops up. Are you ready? Okay. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, do not fear, for I am with you. I will say to the north, give up my children, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Let's spend just a minute sharing with somebody next to us. And now I'm going to interrupt your holy conversations. And because it seems that most of you aren't done, this is a great opportunity to finish these conversations after worship. And maybe keep doing that each week. Have these conversations together. And thank you for being brave and for being Lutheran. Would you pray with me? God, you speak to us in many ways, through rushing wind or still small voice, in Scripture's word, or through your grace. And we in turn find many ways to hear the world's insistent voice. Break through the silence and take your place. Help us to hear you above the clamor of this world, to recognize the difference, and to follow only you as you continue to reform us. Amen.